Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Influence with Michelle Martin on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
When businesses found they could not deliver the goods and services they were contractually bound to because of border closures or CB measures, that sent many back to the table scrutinizing escape clauses, insurance provisions, or any provision that could help them avoid paying damages. So, what have we learned from COVID-19 about pandemic-proofing our contracts? I'm joined by Justin Chan, Senior Partner and Head of Dispute Resolution at Tito Isaac & Company, to discuss pandemic-proofing your contracts. Good morning, Justin. How are you?
Morning, Michelle. I'm good. Counting my blessings every day.
Good to hear. All right. What have we learned moving ahead? First up, is it possible to really pandemic-proof a contract?
I think so. And when we talk about pandemic proofing something, I think we have to look at two major facets. The first is that you can legitimately avoid having to fulfill your contractual obligations because of the pandemic, and failing which you minimize your economic loss and exposure because of the pandemic. And because we have had some clarity now as to how wide-ranging the effects of a pandemic can be, I think we would be able to craft contracts which specifically address the issue of a pandemic.
Fascinating. Walk us through the situation there where a contract's terms have been breached during the circuit breaker. What sort of, I suppose, workarounds can someone put into a contract ahead of time?
I think a lot of the conversation has turned to negotiation. Now, when a contract is breached during the circuit breaker, what is important to note is that there are these temporary relief provisions, and it affects these five main contracts that have been entered into before the 25th of March 2020. This includes secured loan agreements, SMEs, construction contracts, and supply contracts, and so forth. So if the contractual breach is subject to the relief provisions, then your situation is slightly different because you're not allowed to start legal action on those. When you cannot start legal action, then the best thing to do is to try and negotiate and arrive at a new contract. So if you arrive at a new contract, let's say on the 26th of March 2020, then the Act probably wouldn't cover that contract, and it serves the dual purpose of you being able to negotiate terms which address what the pandemic is doing to your supply chains, your business operations, etc.
You mentioned two areas a company should look at when thinking of pandemic-proofing their contracts. Let's get to the details. What are some specific clauses, perhaps, that can be included to protect a company better should there be a pandemic moving forward?
Well, the first one would be some sort of non-performance clause. And this usually takes the form of a force majeure clause, limitation of liabilities, a material adverse change clause, for example. So essentially clauses that allow either party to avoid performing certain obligations in the event of the pandemic. Now, it's the second important clause that we would advise is governing law and dispute resolution clauses, because try the best that we may, there will be some situations where a dispute arises regardless. And when we look at mediation and arbitration, these are quite useful and time cost effective ways to resolve a dispute. For example, mediation is confidential. You decide your own fate when it comes to a mediation. And it can be done quite quickly. I mean, most mediation sessions, leaving aside the paperwork, the session itself can take a day.
All right. Now, backing up a little bit, we've heard a lot about the force majeure provision as we've weathered this pandemic. What can the provision cover and what can it not cover?
Well, it covers... What's interesting here is that parties are free to agree. So generally, any obligation that the parties can agree on that are affected by the force majeure clauses are then make their way onto paper. So parties can, it's a prevention is better than cure situation, to borrow a term from the doctors. So parties can agree, for example, for all obligations under the contract to be bound by the force majeure clause.
Yes, go ahead.
Sorry. What it cannot cover is that it cannot cover the situation that you mentioned earlier. That means there is a breach already.
Hmm.
Right? So it doesn't cover obligations that have already fallen due, and your force majeure clause or non-performance clause doesn't specifically address the issue of a pandemic, acts of government, etc.
So is it true that when it comes to the wording of the force majeure clause, although it may address acts of God, this by itself and is not an umbrella term that necessarily includes disease and epidemics, that we'd have to put that in specifically?
Yes, I think you would. The thing about this particular pandemic is that it probably signals to us you must be very specific in the drafting of a force majeure clause. So it should include pandemics, disease, acts of government. The usual sort of standard clause, acts of God, would probably not cover this particular pandemic.
Really crucial, that piece of that note there. I am speaking with Justin Chan, Senior Partner, Head of Dispute Resolution at Tito Isaac & Company. We're talking about pandemic proofing your future contracts. Justin, from a lawyer's perspective, what do you think's been learned about standard contracts from our experience of COVID?
Well, essentially, standard contracts only cover standard situations. I think that's the key takeaway from this situation. So back to what I've said, a lot of the time companies can sort of grab boilerplate clauses off the internet and then chop and change certain clauses in there. So that gives the difficulty of not much legal thought has been given to this contract.
Mm.
And it's very general. So like I said, this pandemic is unprecedented. So we would have to up our game in terms of the specific drafting which addresses pandemics.
All right. And your final tips maybe to companies besides get a lawyer to help you draft that force majeure clause? You want them to record? Is it important to sort of record what they're going through at this time?
I think it would be good to sort of do a risk assessment. You know, look at your supply chains, look at your exposure, your expenditure.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's something to advise companies on, and this probably would affect us as lawyers in terms of the bottom line is this, try to negotiate. Business continuity must be key.
That's great. So look at clauses which will allow you to negotiate. Include those in from get-go.
I think regardless, try to negotiate first rather than sue. Mm. I think that would be my advice.
Wonderful. Well, rare to hear a lawyer say that. So thank you very much, Justin, for joining us and those tips on pandemic-proofing our future contracts. And have you managed to get that haircut? Is that on the calendar?
I think my wife has gotten to my hair. So, despite best efforts, that has been done. It's ironic because today is the 12th of May, and I should have gone to the hairdresser, but I just could not wait.
Well, glad to know you're looking sharp. Justin Chan there, talking to me in Influence.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.